my haircut taken care of, picked up my pants that were being adjusted and altered at the alteration shop. Now I'm going to go find some lunch and then go get a car wash, find some lunch and get a few groceries and then head back to the house.
Liam. Oh, well, I'm getting ready to take Bernice down to Buncombe for the annual mammogram here in just a few minutes. Just sitting here waiting and seeing if my calls loaded up, and they did. They go up there pretty fast, the logbook of the world anymore. And I worked at Isle of Man, and I've worked there before in Algeria. And it was youth on the air in Algeria. He was pretty weak, but he heard me. And then Slovenia, and then I just shut it down and come up here and working on the mailbox, putting a new number on it, and getting ready to head down there. And then when I get back, I'll go out and visit the girls out back.
That's good. And all. Well, what are you going to do with those two turkeys that are starting to crow in the morning, you know?
I haven't made up my mind yet. My neighbor might take them. I don't know. Or I might tell Chad that they're hens and give them to him. I don't, you know, not being a farm boy, he might not notice.
N-U-E.
Uh-oh, busted.
You're done? Yeah, that ain't gonna happen now. He's probably been clued in, too. Hello, Chad.
How are you? And Mr. Tom, what was it you trying to sneak off on me?
I didn't say nothing. I just said it's a nice day if it don't rain. Ain't that right, Rusty?
Me? Birds of a feather flock together, huh? I see how it is. I think I know the difference between an hen and a rooster. But that's okay. If you want to get rid of them, I'll be glad to take them.
Well, they'd make a good fryer. It's less than a year old. I don't have the heart anymore. They're pretty. I don't know what I'm going to do with them, Chad. I thought I might check you out of the bushes there talking about you, but I didn't know. Well, how is it up at up in the boondocks?
Chilly last night, and did not get much sleep, so I'm a little bit cranky. And I have got a 10-speed bicycler in front of me on a major highway here in Easley. And we are doing 3 miles an hour, and he is not concerned about it at all.
Well, when you come to a stop sign, you just read the initials. Skid tires, run pedestrians.
Boy, you know.
Rusty, I said, when he comes to a stop sign, I said, you just read those initials, skid tires on pedestrians. Ain't that right, Rusty?
That's what it is.
His truck right now, he's got these little old bitty mirrors. On my truck, I can fold them out so they stick out about 2.5 feet. I don't want to hurt them. I just want them to hear it when it goes by, you know.
Just go ahead and do like the rest of these guys do down here on what's that road out there, Bernice, that they hit so many pedestrians on? White Horse Road. They just go ahead and run over pedestrians, and then they take the truck back to where they stole it the first day. Boy, they hit a lot of people down there, and that's not funny. I don't mind the bicyclists if they got on reflective clothing and an LED light or something, but I just can't hardly tolerate people walking along in black clothing at nighttime on these windy roads around here. That's so dangerous, and you see it a lot. Go ahead, Rusty.
I had some fool come flying around me just now from one traffic light next. He roaring up with his, he's got one of these rice burners that's got the noisy mufflers on it. And he went all the way up, had to roar around me in a two other cars, and all he was going was up to the next traffic light where he made a right turn and went down to an apartment complex. Oh, idiots. They walk among us. But, yeah, you know, you got to be careful out there. I get them over there on my road riding all the time because the riders that come out my way and ride around over in this area are doing it because of the hills, the hilly areas over here, because they're not long, but they're steep on some of these over here, and they're practicing for some of the contests where they ride up the hills and everything like that. So, anyway, well, I'm headed out here where I'm going to go get my car washed because I got to get it done because the birds made a lot of deposits on it last night like they were buying it or something. So, and all. So anyway, I'm going to go take care of that and then go find me a bite of lunch. And then I got handbell rehearsal followed by the last of the dinners for the Christmas dinners at church tonight. And then I got choir rehearsal. And then I got to call a side band at 10 o'clock tonight. So just a few things to keep me busy the rest of the day. Go ahead, Chad.
Yeah, so here's my deal. Is that the Pickens County taxpayers have paid I don't know how much money to have a bicycle lane added to Highway 93. I mean, in places, there's 3 feet of asphalt to the right of the white line. And, I mean, this dude just, I mean, he's just out almost in the middle of the lane. Like, I don't care that I'm, you know, got 55 cars behind me. Come on, man. What is wrong? You understand what I'm saying? KO4NUE.
Well, he would tell you he pays his taxes, too. Yeah, that's dangerous, Chad, and it's aggravating. I believe I toot the horn gently at him, and he should move over. But whether he will or not, I don't know, and sometimes that's still not enough. Like up here on Highway 101, it's just so narrow. They don't hardly have a place to go, and it's bad. Well, Rusty Chad's been up there where one night a bear kept him inside of his cabin all night long. How'd you like to be there, Rusty?
Not been one where one kept me inside the cabin all night long, but I have been where one run us inside the covered, closed-in picnic area one place I was at one time. So I've had my share of run-ins with bears every now and again, too. So, you know, it's just an all in how you treat them. You got to be nice to them now. You got to be nice to them, because otherwise they can be real mean. Go ahead, Chad.
I agree. Being nice is part of the equation. But the other part of that equation is that's an apex predator. And I mean apex. So I'm sure nice fits in there somewhere. I'm not sure where, but I'm not actively trying to do anything with him. I just want, you know, I understand this is his place. I get it. But I just, you know, I don't. He put me in the truck one time, and I got him on video camera following me up to the gate in the truck. And that's a little unnerving because he's big enough to be what he wants to be. And that's I'm nervous about that sometimes. So KO4NUE, back to you, Tom.
Well, Rusty Chad's about that size too, so I don't think he has much to fear. I'll let you go, guys. I gotta go downstairs, get in the car, and take Bernice to the doctor there for her mammogram. So maybe I'll catch you out in the mobile in a little bit. Good to hear y'all. 73,
send your OTR. I'm out too, because I'm over here where I'm going to take car and have it washed. So I'll get back to you later and everything. So I'm here. Talk to you later. W2T clear also.
KO4NUE clear.
All right, what's going on, Chad?
Hey, bud. KO4NUE and KO4QLG. We're riding down the highway headed back to the shop.
You helping Chris out today?
Hey, we done nothing but goof off.
Get my truck looked at, see if I get this super blinker thing situated.
Situated?
I thought you knew the story, but my blinkers are randomly going off while driving, whether I'm turning or not, and then sometimes they don't even work when I'm turning, so it's kind of been a nightmare.
Well, it sounds like something in the switch behind the steering wheel. I don't know. Are you going to take it to the dealership?
A mechanic I've been dealing with for years. It's just here lately I haven't been terribly happy with them, but I don't really have any other options. Trying to figure it out myself, and I've actually, because you're saying the same thing I was thinking, you know, behind the steering column somewhere, and I tell you why, I've changed everything I can, and I cannot get the stupid thing to work correctly, so it's driving me crazy.
Frustrating. I'm just curious, have you YouTubed it, Daniel?
Not out of it. I cannot. Nobody seems to be having the problem I'm having. So I think it is partially unique to me in the fact of, beginning of the year, my alternator went out and it spiked. It sent like a spike to my cluster, which I knew. I could see everything going crazy. I quickly disconnected everything, but I don't think it happened fast. So I think that it... basically, after talking to Patrick, I think that it probably did send a spike to the smart distribution box that's inside the truck. I think there's three distribution boxes on this truck. But I think it sent a shock to that distribution box. And I think that it messed something up in it. So, but yeah, I have YouTubed it. And everything everybody's telling me to do, I've either already done or my truck doesn't have it.
Well, I wish I could help you, but I don't know what to think about that. I mean, if the surge did cause it, then it could be anything. But I don't know. But I used to date a girl who had a Volkswagen. She drove a Volkswagen Beetle, and every time she turned left, the horn would go off. If that helps you any.
No, I've been going down the highway. You know, I've been making these trips like to Charleston and to Charlotte and stuff for some jobs. And my blinker's just randomly turning right and left. And so everybody behind me thinks I'm turning. And then when I'm actually trying to turn left and I turn my left blinker on, it refuses to work. So then I end up having to pull out and wear somebody, and that's pissing me off. Of course, I'm taking them off. But I guess I'm one of those rare people that actually uses their blinker here in South Carolina. So there's just a handful of us, but I typically use my blinker. But I ended up on the way home from Charleston week before last, I ended up having to pull the fuse out of the blinker because it was driving me crazy.
That is the truth, Daniel. They don't teach it down here in South Carolina, what turn signals are and zero TR.
It's got to be frustrating, Daniel. That would just drive me mad. I'd have to do something. I don't know what to tell you to do, though. Oh, my goodness. I've never heard of that. But, hey, I will tell you this, though. If it's going to happen to anybody, it's going to happen to you.
That's the truth. So you were talking about that steering wheel thing. So it's funny. We've always worked on our own cars and stuff. But my dad had an Econoline Ford van. And the steering box went out on it. And so he... We ain't got another steering box. Well, say he ordered, he got the part, you know, and it came in, and it was the wrong, he knows it was the wrong part. But it looked identical to the steering box he had. So he was like, you know what, I'll try it. And so the mechanic's like, yeah, I mean, or the parts guy said, yeah, just try it. And so I can't remember what it actually went to. So he put it on his Ford van, and he went to pull out, and he's turning left, and the truck's turning right. And he couldn't figure out, he thought maybe he put it in wrong, but I mean, there's only one way to put it in anyway. So it was for a different Ford, a different van or something. I think maybe it wasn't even for a Ford. I think it was for a Chevrolet, but every turn, time he turned right, it would turn left. Well, he had to learn how to drive it because they couldn't get the part in. And then basically learned that if he take the bottom of the steering wheel, wherever the bottom of the steering wheel went, that's the direction the truck went in. And so that's how he drove the truck for like probably 6 months until they could get the right part in. Well, he couldn't drive any other vehicle because every time he would turn, he would was expecting to turn right, he was turning left. It was just threw everything off. It was funny.
That's awful. That's good, Daniel. All right, anyway, so we're at our destination, so I'm going to say 73s to the both of you. Enjoyed the conversation. But we're back at the shop, and I got a feeling we're going to do a little more goofing off today. So we better get at it. KO4NUE and KO4QLG, we are clear 73s.
See you guys later. Chris, have a good one, too. KI4DTY, I'll be clear.
Daniel, I didn't hear the other gentleman in there. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. I can hear you just fine. Chris, I believe, was in the truck with Chad, and so he was just throwing his call sign out since he was in the same vehicle.
Oh, hi, Chris. Good to hear you both. And what was the problem in your truck? Was it with the turn signals? I was transitioning from upstairs to the vehicle during that.
I've been messing up on my truck. I drive a Ford Expedition. And I love my truck. I don't know why it is. I just always love my truck. And the blinkers are going crazy. It's like they'll just randomly turn, like, come on, like I'm turning right, even though I'm clearly not. And then when I actually go to use them, like if I'm turning left or something, it will not come on. It's been very, very picky. So I've changed a bunch of parts on it, but it's been driving me crazy, even to the point that, you know, my kids know I use my blinker, and they're like, Dad, you didn't turn your turn signal on, because I've been trying to teach them that, you know, as they're growing up, how to drive, and yeah, it's been driving me crazy.
That, and it's dangerous, too. Now, and I'm an old-timer, but just a dumb question. They don't use the old little round tin can that's called a blinker anymore, do they?
No, they don't. I know exactly what you're talking about because I remember replacing it in that Ford Econoline van I was telling you about just a second ago. Now they have a fake noise that they produce that's in behind your instrument panel as a just a fake clicking. So they don't have that little blinker relay anymore. It's actually built into your smart cluster.
Okay. Well, something's giving it that signal, and it would. The only thing that moves dynamically is the turn signal handle itself, if you stop and think about it. So I would say that it almost certainly has to be that.
The actual blinker, you know, the toggle right here on the steering column. So I replaced it at the tune of $200, so that wasn't, you know, an easy pill to swallow there, especially knowing that it did not fix the problem. So I guess my next next thing is just this cluster, but this cluster I think is going to be about 400 plus labor.
Either one of those would smart. Gee, well, dang ingenious these Japanese, my dad used to say, but in this case, I'd have to abstain from that, because if you got to replace that much just to get the turn signal indicator to work, that's really bad. I would have thought, too, it would be the toggle there, the handle itself that goes to the switching for it, because that's what you're mechanically moving to turn, and it would seem like that the contacts in there are giving a closure to the circuit in order to make it operate. Man, and the wire harness going down to that looked okay. I mean, it wasn't corroded or something out of place like that, was there? Or did the plug look like it might have been overheated?
Because that was the other thing. That was actually what I looked at before I actually even changed the switch. I looked to see if maybe some of the plastic was melted or something, just from, you know, maybe overheating from a short circuit. And there was nothing like that. The connector looked perfectly fine. Like, there's no corrosion. And then I of course, you know, the actual wiring harness is going all the way back behind, you know, the dashboard and everything, so it's hard to find anything. But I tried to trace it the best I could just to kind of see if there was anything bad wired or kind of hitting, and I can't find anything. So I'm not sure what it is. And the weird part is that, so like if the right blinker is going off, I have to turn the left blinker on to shut the right blinker off, if that makes sense. So it's just like, if it was a short, it would just be a short. So I'm not sure what it is.
You covered all the bases. Now, being an old timer, I always put this at the last thing, and it probably should be the first thing. There's many, many YouTubes, and if you post that question online sometimes, you can come up with some decent suggestions. Other times, they're, you know, they walk among us type. But there are some good, very good pointers on there. Daniel, that's 10-0-TR.
That's what I was talking to Chad about. I went on YouTube to try to see if I could find it, and I'm actually part of a 07 Ford Expedition forum online, and everything that I've gone through and tried to fix, everybody's like, yeah, those are all the common problems, so they don't know what it is either. But Patrick's a smart one out there, and he's the one that confirmed it. That probably is what it is, the actual fuse cluster. There's three fuse clusters in this truck. You got the main one in the engine compartment, then you got a sub, and then you got a second sub that's inside the passenger wall. And so I think maybe that's the one it is.
Okay. Yeah, I guess he would be. He's around the mechanics a whole lot.
He's on Ford, so I figured if anybody knew, he'd know, but he's definitely a smart one. He definitely knows what he's talking about. So he's been super, super helpful, and he's been letting me pick his brain a little bit about this, just because, like I said, I know that he used to work on them all the time and still does occasionally. But anyways, but thanks for the talk, Tom. I'm actually here at the mechanic, so I'm going to go inside and see if these people can figure it out. So I'm going to say a 7-3, and this is KI4-DTY, and I'm clear on your final.
Okay, and Daniel, good luck. We're not far from the hospital here now, so I'll be stopping up there, and I'll probably just sit outside because they won't let me go in. KB4-CBA is another excellent source. Dave, he worked as a mechanic many years and very intelligent on those things. I've had mechanical and electrical discussions with him. 73, Daniel. Yes, and Joe TR clear.
Check him out, but thank you so much. Have a good one, and I hope Miss Bernice is good. All right, 73.
for you from my papa and Marjorie.
Texas Mobile listening.
For ULP.
Name here is Dave, KB2, Hotel X-Ray Sierra HXS.
I am Alexander, Kilo Oscar 4 Uniform. My papa is my call sign. And Dave, I don't know if I made contact with you, have I?
Yes, we have. You were hiking last time we were talking.
Let me see if I can then find you in my logbook. If I was hiking, I don't know if I was able to log you.
Take your time. I'll give you my calls again phonetically.
Just scanning through my logbook because I have about 45 contacts in here and just going through to see if I have you down or not.
You know, if you don't, I'll give you my calls and you can get them down, get them in your logbook.
And just to make sure, you are not W4PUK.
That is correct.
W4PUK then. Okay, so I have you then.
No, I am not.
So bad. I got tripped up on words there. I'm so sorry. Okay. So then I did not see you, so what is it? I'm ready to copy your call sign.
Okay, here we go. It's K Kilo B Bravo number 2 H Hotel X X-ray S Sierra. KB2HXS, name is Dave.
I got KB2HXS.
That is correct. You're doing better than most of the guys on here. I know someone's going to be listening. I'll catch a little heck for that.
Sometimes I do good and sometimes I don't, you know. Well, after I believe you're my 46th person that I've logged in my logbook, so 45 other practice rounds and getting to get it down better.
No worries. Now, I've had this call sign for a lot of years. I got my call sign back in the late 80s. 88, 89, something like that. I can't remember. It's been a long time. So, not giving them up yet.
Yeah, call sign that long, but I really do enjoy the hobby.
Excellent. I'm glad you do. Yeah, I know I spoke to you once before. You were walking around with your HT, I think, up at Paris Mountain. Is that where you hike a lot?
It was Paris Mountain. I never really remember going up to Paris Mountain. It was some, I think, Heritage Nature Preserve somewhere on, I think, Poinsettia Ridge Road. My mom heard of it from someone, so we decided to go there, and it's a pretty nice walk. It goes all the way up to Caesar's Head.
Oh, that's right. That's the one. Yes. You mentioned Caesar's Head. I think that I couldn't remember. Oh, excellent. My wife and I, we like going over to Paris Mountain a lot. We go hiking there a little bit, and we go to that little swimming area there. When you first pull in before all the trails, take the grandkids there.
Been there, but I don't remember being there. So maybe I can convince my parents to take me there again, so I can remember it this time.
Oh yeah, you'll like it. It's a nice area. You know, you get the if you want to call it the ranger station or the information center is right there by where you go swimming. And you walk down these stone steps down to the swimming pond area. They got it kind of like roped off, kind of, or sectioned off. And you can rent paddle boats and all kinds of stuff. It's really nice. Yeah, they have a whole area for young kids to play in over by the parking lot. They got an area for barbecuing and all kinds of stuff. It's really nice up there.
And I also believe there's a repeater on Paris Mountain and a NOAA weather radio tower on Paris Mountain, too. You like allowed to like hike up towards the cell towers, or is that like totally different area?
That I couldn't tell you. That I don't know. I don't know that.
There is a repeater, no weather radio station up there, but nobody's, like, ever on the repeater. And I don't think I've ever heard someone on there. And I listened on a handheld in January, and then finally got my license in November, so I, like, maybe barely heard people on there. It's not a busy repeater at all on Paris Mountain.
Is that the 370 machine, 145-370, or is that 820? I don't remember which one is which.
Sure, my radio says the name of the repeater is not the frequency. My handheld tells me the frequency, but I don't really know the name of the repeater then, because, you know, I haven't, I have to look it up, and I know, here, I can pull that up for you on repeater book. I have an iPad here, it's like one of the first ones that pops up, so just give me a second.
No problem, I mean, no worries. I think Paris Mountain, yeah, I think it's the 820 machine. I'm not really sure. I don't know. I could be losing my mind.
At AZ4TMA, Simon in Greenville. Alexandra, I know you and I have spoken once or twice before. I didn't catch the name of the other station, so forgive me, but it's good to be on the air with you. Yeah, I overheard you talking about the Paris Mountain repeater. I'm a relatively new ham myself, but I've been pretty curious about that repeater, too. So I've got some information I can share that I learned from some other local station operators. But first, let me just make sure I'm coming through to you clearly. Am I hitting this repeater well? Can you both hear me all right?
Pretty much full quiet. And got a little bit of noise on you, but nothing. You're over the noise. So name here is Dave, and I'm about to detonate home here. I'm in Greer, or Gurr, as the old timers like to call it. But yeah, I was just trying to figure out which frequency was Paris Mountain. Was it 146-820 or 145-370? I can't remember.
I pulled up here in repeater book, and I think the receive frequency is 146-82, and then the I think offset is -6, and the offset frequency is 146. 22.
Local station operators who say they use it from time to time, but it certainly doesn't get used nearly as much as the W4NYK Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society repeater that we're on right now on Caesar's Head. Yeah, so that's the 82. The other one that you mentioned, I believe that's W4IQQ. I think that's the Greer repeater, but I'm not sure. I didn't recognize the frequency when you mentioned it. But I've talked with a couple other guys on this frequency, like Dave, W4DJW, who's pretty active in the club. And there's some talk about eventually linking the Paris Mountain repeater with this repeater, which would be pretty helpful to those of us who live out near the east side of Greenville, because anybody who lives in the shadow of Paris Mountain can't always hit this Caesar's Head repeater quite so well. So maybe someday there's some ongoing talk about linking the two repeaters.
Oh, good. Hey, Chad. I'm going to jump out. It's good to speak to you as I'm in the driveway here at the house. I'm going to go and eat some lunch. You gentlemen carry on. Chad, go ahead and take it. KO4NUE KB2HXS out of here.
73, bud. Have a great day. So, Shane, is that's you in there, I hear?
There is no other station that I get confused with more than Shane. So, unfortunately, Shane and I, Simon, I guess our names sound a little bit alike, and we both have Zed in our call sign. I've caught Shane a couple times on here, but no, this is Simon in Greenville, KZ4TMA, and, of course, you and I have talked a couple times. And we've also got Alexander. You probably heard him. Let's see, he's KO4ULP, I think. Anyway, the two of us on here right now. How you doing, Chad?
The Zed gets me. and you know, every time we talk, I do the same thing. So I'll make an effort to correct that. I do apologize. I mean no harm by it. So talking about the shadow of Paris Mountain, I'm assuming you're talking about the Landrum Tryon area.
I don't know exactly where that shadow is all that well. I just know that when I'm over on the side of the hill, like, north of the, you know, by Woodruff, anything like that, well as we did in the future. And of course, the Arizona Theater is always quiet.
Simon, absolutely no audio. We basically didn't hear any of that. I don't know if you're in a hole or in a bad spot, but next time you're up in the shadow that you're talking about up in the Landrum Tron area, you can move to the Thermal Belt Club's repeater, which is 145330 negative drop in a PL of 91.5, and that'll get you through Tron, Columbus area. Then you can pick back up on Caesar's Head on the back side of that. So at any rate, enjoyed talking with you, Simon. And Alexander, you still in there, bud?
For ULP, yes, I am, Chad. I was just looking through repeater book here because I was trying to answer the other guy's question on here. Oh, I think he signed off about when he came on. His name was Deva. We were talking about the Pierce Mountain repeater, and it also identifies a W for NYK, and the Fusion 10 repeater is also a W for NYK. Are they owned by, like, the same club or something?
No question, Alexander. I do not know the answer to that. I do not, but I tell you where you can find out a little more information. If you will bring up both frequencies on the repeater book, and where the repeater identification is, W4NYK, click on it, and that will take you to probably who the owner is. And if you bring up both repeater call signs and look at both pages, I would say you might be right. Probably the same organization that may own both of them. But try it out. See what you can find out. But I'm sure it's right there on the iPad.
I'm looking here. I'm not finding any name of who owns it, but I don't know. Anyway, Chad, the iPad is coming in very handy. I've talked to Australia, with Echolink on it.
Glad you're enjoying it. So let me stay with you just a little bit longer on repeater book before we move on to something else. So let me know when you're on repeater book, and tell me what frequency you're looking at.
And Gerald Tiamo.
Are you on repeater book, Alexander?
Repeater book, and I am looking at the Caesar's Head repeater and then the Pierce Mountain repeater kind of at the same time, in a way.
What you're looking at, does it list your uplink and downlink frequencies on that page?
The offset frequency that's 2 meters, an FM carrier, a closed auto path instructions, and it's in Greenville, Pierce Mountain, and yeah.
Okay, so there's two pages to each one of those, that information. So just pick one repeater now. Let's just deal with one for right now. Scroll down the page until you see W4NYK, and it will be in blue, possibly, or gray, depending on how you've got your iPad set up. In other words, click on that link, and it will give you further information about the repeater.
The Paris Mountain repeater open right now, and on the left side of my iPad, I have, like, all the repeater lists in the local area. And then on the right side, I have some of the information for the Paris Mountain repeater because I push the Paris Mountain repeater and it'll give you information, but you can also look at other repeaters while the information is open. And then, in green letters, it says W4NYK. I can push that, and it takes me to another page where it's just about the repeater, but it's like the same information as on the other page, and it does not tell who owns it.
Page, scroll down to the bottom, and that information should be listed there, if you're able to scroll.
Just a second here, I'm trying to figure this out.
You're probably going to BRARS.com, Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society also, Chad. I think 610 and 82 is owned by them, but don't quote me. I just always listen to the CW.
Okay. Are you able to move the screen, Alexander?
So just a second here. I just decided to go to the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society website and see if I can find anything on anything about the repeaters, but not find something. I bet it's on there if I really want to hunt around, but I'm back on a repeater book now.
Good deal. Let me make sure I got it. This KO4NUE, N0TR, KO4LUP, and N4ZLK. So, you take your time with it, Alexander, and see what you can come up with. But just remember, when you pull up a repeater on repeater book, anytime you see something that is highlighted in blue or gray, you should be able to touch that, and that will take you to another page and give you more information about it. I'm pretty sure repeater book lists are required to list who the organization in charge of the repeater is, but you may have to dig around and look to find it, but just wanted to let you know. So, other than that, how are you going today? You on, you got your Christmas break coming yet?
We do. We are either going to get off tomorrow or Friday. We're thinking about going to Canada tomorrow. We're just kind of packing up, but to get across the border, you have to take a COVID test. So if all our COVID tests come out negative, then we're good. But if one is positive, then we'll probably stay. Well, I should say my dad can't go because he's not a Canadian citizen, but my mom's going to take me and Nicholas to visit family up there, and also my cousin, who is living down here with us to go to school, and she's going to take all of us up, including my cousin. My cousins can see her parents, and we can see our grandparents.
It's always nice to see family, especially this time of year. But you better get you some warm clothes. I'm sure Mom will take care of you. But I'm sure it's pretty chilly up there. You know, it's not like it is down here. But I hope you have a wonderful time. And but just cherish everything you can with your grandparents. That will be some really wonderful memories through the years. With that said, this is KO4NUE, and I am 73 with you, but I'm going to clear on out. Be safe, Alexander, and Merry Christmas.
Chad, Merry Christmas to you too, KO4ULP, and N0TR, are you still on?
Yes, sir. I wanted to say something to Chad there. Chad, you still there?
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
No, I just wondered how far you was getting along on your CW. I was just messing around in the kitchen there today, and I noticed Isle of Man, which you weren't far from that the other day, in your visit to Omaha Beach and all. And I've talked to Isle of Man many times, but it's still fun because the big motorcycle races used to always be there, and I guess they still are. And then on come Youth on the Air, which reminded me of Alexander. and they were on 14019. Both of these were 20 meters. And they were in Algeria. And then another one was a really unusual call sign was Sierra 503 Alpha. Sierra 51, Sierra 52, and all that's common as an old shoe, but this guy was running 40 words a minute, so it took me three or four times to set that call sign out, but finally got it. But see all the fun you're missing, Chad?
We're trying. What we're doing right now is... me and Chris have got two keyers, basically a practice keyer, and not every night, but we get up on 2 meters at, I believe it's 144, 100, it's in the CW band, and we practice sending and copying on 2 meters in the proper frequency range. And until I get to where I can copy halfway decent, I've got to do on my own. And I don't think anybody else can help me with that. I've got to get to that point first. But when I get to that point, I'll be in touch. KO4NUE.
Fine business, Chad. I just wanted to check on you. Didn't want you to get burned out, and I'm proud of the fact you and Chris are trying to learn that. I think that's wonderful, and even when the bands are down in sideband, you can still do a lot of CW. I was just kind of clowning around this morning. I'll run downstairs and see if I can hear those guys, and there was quite a bit of activity on 20 today, but with the sunspot slow, that's kind of unusual. But it was fun. And that youth on the air, I got to see if I've worked. I'm sure I have, Algeria. But, sometimes I'll go ahead and they're on OQRS, and I'll go ahead and send them a card just to donate to them a little bit. It depends on the country. Oh, man. This old lady just parked in front of me, and she just split the white line here. I hope the heck she don't hit my car. Anyways, good to hear you, Chad. I'll let you go. I know you're wanting to get out of there. I'll go back over to Alexander a minute here. That's N0TR 73, Chad. Go ahead, Mr. Alexander.
For ULP for station ID. So, how are you doing, Tom?
Hunters and Frog here, split three ways. Now, I know you're not from Kansas, so you probably ain't never seen a frog here.
Sorry, but I have no clue what you're talking about there. I don't hear you on much anymore, Tom. Of course, I'm normally on in the evenings, but I finished school early today, so I got to be on the radio.
I haven't been on a whole lot lately, Alexander. Well, I was just, we old-timers say, pulling your leg. Finer and Frog here split three ways is an old saying. And it's just been in my mind for many years. And to be quite honest with you, Alexander, there ain't no frog hairs.
But, I've normally tried to play on the radio every day, normally on an evening. I just let you know, I listened since January. And I finally got my license in November. And during that time, I just listened on the handheld to the guys talking on this repeater. And I heard you on a lot, and got to hear you a lot and eventually memorize your call sign and name and just by listening and from what I understand, you have chickens and no rooster.
Well, I did. And I got two foul balls in this last purchase. I bought eight and he owed me one because they're supposed to be pre-sexed in all hens. Well, a couple of days ago, I went out there, and two of them were learning how to crow. So that was my first clue that I got a couple of exceptions. So I was commenting to Rusty this morning, I'd give him to Chad because, he, you know, I accused him of being a city boy, which he ain't, and that he wouldn't know the difference. But I got caught. He was listening. But have you got a pencil there to write something down, Alexander? This is N0TR. And by the way, you did the right thing. Listen, listen, listen. That way you learned the proper procedure and you're doing good.
A pencil and paper here. I always keep one in the shack and plus my logbook because there's a lot of interesting things I learned and I want to jot them down so I don't forget.
Roger. Well, we lived, my wife and I, 53 years, lived in Kansas 62 and a half years, and we've been down here about 12 years now. And, in fact, in November, I think it is, 12. And my call is a zero call for that reason, and the Tango Romeo is my initials, Tom Rouse, which is kind of unusual, although I did have two other friends, like in 5SD was Steve Draper, and oh guys, I can't remember Phil's call sign now. It was N0PR, Phil Rankin. So you don't hear those too often. But at any rate, I've had it for about 24 years, and been in extra class about 23. And which makes no difference to me what class you are or who I talk to. Absolutely none. But write this down. It's M3FJP, November 3, Fox Juliet Papa.
Not sure I copied correctly. I got N3FJP, correct?
QSL. That's exactly right. Now, what you do is go to that on your website, and you ask Mom and Dad if they'll buy that for you for Christmas or sometime in the future. It's a logging program. It's extremely easy. You buy it once, and it lasts for life. I've had it many years, and many, many of the good hams around here use it. You'll love it. And you can also upload directly to Logbook of the World whenever you get established with them at QST. But for now, you can just put all those in there. One of these days, when you get interested in HF, in fact, you could send them up now even on 2 meters. But you just put your, like this morning I was talking to a 7X-ray YOTA, youth on the air. You put that in and immediately over to the right it'll say Algeria. Then you put in the time and you put in the band, 20 meters, and I was on CW, or Morse code if you will. And you just hit enter and it puts it in there. And then, like I said, eventually you can load it up to Logbook of the World and get credit for it. Now, it's not so important when you're working repeaters, but it is important when you start working HF if you want to go for awards and credits. And it's the best logging program out there in most of us guys' opinion. So I thought I'd just pass that on to you. At the very least, you can look at it and then someday get it. It's N0TR.
We'll look into that. I am interested in HF. I do have an HF rig. I just don't have an antenna for it.
What kind of HF rig have you got?
It's a Tentec.
Oh, that's old timers have used those for many, many, many years, and it's a good receiver. Now, I can't tell you anything about the different models. I just remembered whenever anybody come back to me on CW and they'd start telling me the rig here is Tentec, and it was kind of unusual anymore, so I usually miss it at first. And then I catch it. I run Kenwoods, but there's nothing wrong with Tentec. It's got a long history, Alexander.
I'm excited to use it and get involved in HF. As a technician, I only be on 10 meters, but before spring, I want to get my general, so I don't know if I'll pull it off or not. And then I plan to take a class that starts in the spring for my extra. Hopefully I can get that all pulled off. I'm not sure if I will be able to.